Good morning. We're calling to order the March 27th, 2013 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Hatehara-Taylor, who's at the controls today as executive secretary. Also joined up on the dais here by Kanishka Burns and Daniela Harris, who are two new members of our staff. Some general information on the hearing today. First order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral testimony as to how the five findings necessary to grant a variance have been justified. More on that in a minute. The applicant should also submit the declaration and posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. And if there is any public testimony in opposition to the project, then the applicant or owners will be allowed 3 minutes of rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end, it may close the public hearing and take action today or continue it to a future date. There are currently no items on the consent calendar, but I think we'll be adding 2 items to the consent calendar, and we'll go into that in just a minute. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda. Now to criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Now, no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the number of variance cases and current backlog, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If you wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet against the far wall. And this is very important because it's the variance decision letter itself which carries the appeal rights, and that's a 10-day appeal period to the Board of Appeals. Other issues, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and discuss, it's better that those discussions happen outside the hearing so as not to disturb others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. And also audio recordings of variance hearings beginning with the January 1st, 2011 hearing are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. I would like to go into the calendar first, look at items proposed for continuance. And we have one item, which is item number 1, case number 2005.1155V. It's the address at 3249 17th Street. The calendar doesn't have a proposed hearing date, but the proposed hearing date will be April 24th, the next Wednesday regular variance hearing. I would note that a discretionary review request was filed on this application, so it's likely that that will be scheduled for sometime in May or later, and we would ultimately have the hearing, the variance hearing, as a joint hearing with the DR at the Planning Commission, and that would be on a Thursday calendar. But for now, we are going to continue this 1 month to the April 24th hearing. And is there any public comment on this rescheduling or this continuance? Seeing none, that is continued to the next variance hearing. And there are 2 items that we'd like to call for possibility of the consent calendar.
These are the following cases that will be considered in the consent side of the calendar. Item number 7, case number 2012.1462V156. Sproul Lane, rear yard variance sought. Also, last item on the calendar, number 13, case number 2012.1373V, 4570 19th Street, rear yard variance sought.
So is there any public comment on either of those cases? Again, case number 7, 156 Sproul Lane, and the last item on the agenda, item number 13, 4570 19th Street. If there is no public comment, then both of those items would be granted with standard conditions. So seeing that there is no public comment on either of those items, both item 7 and item 13 are granted with standard conditions. The public hearings are closed, and we can now move on to the regular calendar.
Case number, item number 2.
Sorry, but I think there's one question.
This is the first time I'm coming to the public.
Oh, sorry, could you approach the microphone so we could hear you?
Okay. This is the first time I'm coming
Sorry, if you could come up to the microphone. Thank you.
Approach the mic.
So this is the first time I'm coming to a public hearing, so I'm not very familiar with the process, and also I didn't receive the notice because the assessor's office didn't get my address correct. But the item you just mentioned, the first one, the 3249, is the address I'm concerned, 3249 17th Street.
So that has been continued to next month's hearing because there was a discretionary review request filed. Did you file a...
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so I what did. We'll probably do is when we get a hearing date for the discretionary review, we'll have all the hearings together. So we'll have the variance and the DR hearing together.
Together, okay.
Yeah, so just so the parties can have one hearing and the Planning Commission can consider the discretionary review and I'll consider the variance.
I see.
So right now it's tentatively moved to April 24th, but I'm assuming that that date will be moved to, once we get a date finalized for the DR hearing, we'll continue it to that date. But we have to have a chain of...
I'm done today.
Yeah, you know, you're done for today. And
thank
so
you.
I would just make sure you stay in contact with the staff planner, Diego Sanchez, and he'll let you know the date of the DR hearing.
Sure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, moving to item number 2, case number 2013.0118V, 1014 Noe Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? Approach the mic, ma'am. You have 5 minutes.
Okay. I have the affidavit also.
I'll take it.
Do you need a photo?
Thank you.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Amy Sherman, and I'm the project sponsor for 1014 Noe. I would like to briefly describe the project, the scope of the project. We are planning on remodeling the top floor of a three-story building on top of a garage. And the current floor plan has two bedrooms and one bath. And we would like to add one additional bedroom and remodel the bathroom that right now is very small. Increasing the ceiling height. The whole remodel is contained within the existing footprint of the building, and we're not adding additional height. We're still keeping a 40-foot average height at the front. The addition will also include a small playroom that it's in the back, and it will be shared by the two boys in the room, boys' room in the back. And that's the part of the remodel and addition for which we require a variance because that part encroaches for about 7.5 feet in the 45% rear yard requirements. We feel like it's a modest addition. The house as it is right now does not encroach into farther than the average lot houses next door, and also the height for which we're requesting a variance is not going to be any taller than other buildings nearby, especially the property on the south side and the property that it's across the rear yard that are much taller than us. We think that this addition doesn't take light away, doesn't cause any loss of privacy for the neighbors, and it doesn't block any views. And because the lot is a sloping lot, we find that the 30-foot height requirement measured at the front will be limiting our possibility to use that space that is already including the footprint, and it's something that adjacent neighbors already were able to enjoy with, you know, taller additions in the back. And I think that's it. If you have any questions.
Thank you. So I think you noted that the averaging requirement would actually give you a greater rear yard than what you're doing, including what we'd be allowed with permitted obstructions, because you average against the two adjacent properties, and then you can do a 12-foot pop-out. But the variance that you're seeking here as not to actually encroach further to the rear
right.
yard, but to go up.
Right.
When you do the averaging, the last 10 feet are limited to 30 feet
right.
in height, and you want to do the...
Well, because we don't want to increase the footprint of the building. I think there is an architectural and also like a structural value on building or something that it's already there instead of like enlarging the whole back of the house, which includes a breakfast nook downstairs and, you know, like a covered area at the bottom.
And then the... you noted this is only about a 7-foot variance, and the building does have a setback, a front setback of about 7 feet, and
mm-hmm.
the third floor itself is set back about 22 feet.
I right.
think. So it is set back substantially, which contributes to the need for a variance in this case.
We comply with the setbacks, yeah.
Right.
Even the addition is 5 foot from the side. And actually, the remodeling of the top floor, which rebuilds the roof line, we kept it 17 feet away from the frontage of the house just to minimize the impact on the street
okay.
and on the noise in 23rd Street.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 2, 1014 Noe Street? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item. I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance. As noted, there are significant setbacks from the front for the third story. It's not overall having a footprint larger than what would be allowed under the code. Also, two-unit building, and this is to expand the upper unit. And public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant. I will hold the decision letter until the end of the Section 311 notification period, which I believe expires at the end of this week on the 31st. And we can move on to the next item. Item number three,
case number 2013.0070V, 908 Cap Street, rear yard, variance sought. This is the sponsor. You have 5 minutes, sir.
I have the declaration of posting. So this is from my home at 908 Cap Street at 24th in the Mission District. What I'm seeking to do is put a co-compliant ground floor extension out and replace the foundation on the building. As part of a prior build on the building back in the 40s, they built a second floor extension out, and what I'll be doing is building out underneath that. To literally comply with the code, I would have to demolish that existing prior extension. The neighbors on both sides and most of the neighbors down the street have similar sorts of construction on the back of their homes. It doesn't affect anyone nearby because the two side homes have existing extensions of similar nature. The one to the lot 4 here on the picture has a full ground floor extension with a second floor covering on it, and the one on the lot 2 here, they don't have a full extension across the back, but they do have a two-story extension as depicted there. The area is full of trees, and there's a full three-story high building at the very back there we don't see, which fills in the zone around that area. These three lots are shorter than the others on the block. The other ones are full depth. These are shorter ones when the old train line used to come through the area. The primary reason I want to do it is I want to keep the existing extension that's there, but make it seismically stable. It's currently on 4x4 posts. I don't think that's going to last very long in an earthquake, and so I wanted to build out and make a deck in the back of the house there to support it and keep it from falling over in the next earthquake. Otherwise, it'll self-demolish. And that's the extent of the variance.
Thank you. And you noted it's a shallower property depth, about 60 feet, but it's also quite narrow, too, only
18 feet.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 3, that's 908 Cap Street. Seeing none, close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting definitely the lot size here is contributing to the hardship for the variance. And again, public hearing is closed. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 4, case number 2011.1422V, 2555 Divisadero Street, side yard variance sought. Sponsor, you have 5 minutes. Oh, thank you, sir.
Declaration of posting. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Jeremy Paul for the project sponsor. Going to the overhead, on this block of Divisadero between Pacific and Broadway, this subject property is significantly smaller than any other house on the block, by a factor of three to the house directly adjacent to it. We're seeking a side yard variance in the RH1D zone, and the RH1D has not been followed as the development pattern on this block. House on the block does approach the side property line, and the intent of the code is to maintain side yard open space and define a pattern of development on the block and provide transitions and privacy between the buildings and property lines. That is not available in this particular site, so I don't believe that we will be insulting the intent of the code by granting a variance to do this. Specifically, we have met with and spoken with both of the adjacent neighbors on each side, and both of them have granted their support to us making this modest addition. Onto the hardship question. This house is the only Bay Area example of the work of an architect. This was built in 1939. Architect who's very well known for his contributions in Southern California, many public buildings, including City Hall. His name is Paul Williams, and he was, in fact, for many decades, the only licensed African-American architect working west of the Mississippi. But this house is sort of an oddball on this block. But because of the auspicious character of the architect, we're unable to alter the facade any further, despite the fact that we're set 35 feet back from the front property line. Characteristic of this architect's work is grand ballrooms and communal spaces, and the entire ground floor is essentially a grand living room and a grand dining room, not providing much smaller intimate spaces for family use. The intent is to create a single den-like room upstairs, and I think that can be achieved without visually disturbing the character of the block or damaging the very kinds of relationships between the buildings that the Section 133 was intended to protect. So if you have any further questions about the application.
Thank you. I think you noted this building is an individual resource, a historic resource. The lot size is pretty substantial, though, at 32 by 137.5 feet. However, you didn't know there's a 34-foot front setback, plus the addition is set back an additional 43 feet from that front building wall, so it's set back 77 feet, more than half the distance from the front property line to the rear property line. So there seem to be some lot considerations there that do affect the variance and lend to the justification for the variance. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 4. 2555 Divisadero Street. Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions. And again, public hearing is closed. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case number 2013.0058V, 457 to 459 Broderick Street. Rear yard variance sought. You're the sponsor, sir? Take your time.
I'm the architect for the owners, and
all right.
I'm here to speak for the project.
5 minutes, sir.
The family I'm representing in this case is a young growing family, and they'd like to get a little bit of outdoor space, which is the primary reason for starting this process. As you can see, the corner property has two buildings.
Switch the mic.
Oh, sorry. The corner property was subdivided at some point to create two non-conforming lots, which affected this lot because we are subject to in averaging the rear yard requirement. So the new average would be these two red lines, which affects this dash line, which goes through the middle of our existing deck. Had this never been granted, we would, in essence, never even have to be here for this variance. So also, you can see that this property does not contribute, the rear yard area does not contribute at all to the open area in the rear of buildings, because there is, in fact, a building that goes across here and has created this basically as a courtyard. What we're basically asking for is the blue area represents the area that we want to expand, which is a total of 44 square feet. This shows the area of the existing deck and a fire escape that exists here at the third level, and we want to add the blue area so that we can actually have a space that we could actually have a chair and sit out in the sun for this young family to have. This is a picture of, this is a picture of the rear yard of the subject property. This is an aerial shot of this deck, which is no more than a glorified landing to the door that gets us out to the stair down to this lower level, which is the rear yard. Now, the fire escape is here. As you can see in these photos, here is our subject property, and this is the building that I was pointing out was created. This is the deck, the existing deck on the side that goes all the way to the rear, as you can see in this this deck here. And you can also see that this area here is the building that goes completely across the backside of this area here, creating this courtyard effect. So basically, the variance is to ask for a variance from the rear yard requirement so that we can expand this landing to be by 44 square feet for a deck. Are there any questions?
Yeah, thank you. I think it's a very thorough presentation. Appreciate the photos, and also just to reinforce what you said about the adjacent property to the north, that there are two substandard lots at the corner, and it seems that that was created. Ms. Burns did the research and found that that was created actually after 1946, it appears,
exactly,
after our minimum lot size requirements. So we're not quite sure how that happened, but it definitely does impact your property. And had it not been subdivided, you would have been down to the 25% rear yard requirement. This would have been code complying, and no variance would have been needed. So I think it's a very excellent presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And is there any public comment on this item, item number 5, 457 to 459 Broderick Street? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting it is providing usable open space that's directly accessible from the upper main living level of the upper unit. Also noting the condition of the adjacent lots and how that has impacted the rear yard requirement for the subject property. So again, public hearing is closed, and we can move on to item number 6.
Item number 6, case number 2013.0024V, 2844 Fillmore Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Alfonso Fiona. I'm the architect for this project, located at 2844 Fillmore Street. We are... the proposed project is a 50 square foot addition, which a single story in the rear yard. The reason we need a variance is because a good portion of the addition takes place within the required 17 foot rear yard setback. The addition is to house a proposed folding door that will allow the existing kitchen and family room to have access to the existing side yard, which is the main open space for the property. The house was built to the rear. It goes to the rear of the property entirely, so that's why this addition is falling within this rear yard setback. We believe that this is that's why we need a variance. We believe it's approvable. The variance is approvable because of the non-standard configuration of this lot. The lot is only 50 feet wide. It's 50 feet wide, but it's only 68 foot 9 inches deep, which the required rear yard setback has a, we believe, is an unfair impact on the lot. That being said, the lot does not have adjacent lots to it affecting the rear yard setback. Both flanking lots face onto other streets, and the result is that our coverage, we're fully within allowable coverage for the site. Our proposed coverage is 1,855 square feet, and that includes the existing garage and the 50-foot addition. The allowable coverage for the site is 2,579 square feet. We also believe that the variance is allowable because the addition itself is very, very small. This is a section through the rear yard, and as you can see, this section shows the addition, the existing side yard, and the neighbor's lot with the most direct visual access to the proposed addition. And as you can see, their grade level is entirely above the addition. The addition with the, including the little roof piece on the top of it, is no higher than 11 foot 6 inches. In addition, there's a large amount of foliage in the rear, which completely blocks this area from any neighboring properties. This is typical of the amount of foliage there is. These trees completely block the view of it. Here's another view from the adjacent property to the south. Also, if you look at the interior block, the addition is located here, and we are not having an impact on the interior open space of the block as a whole as well. So those are our findings. So we respectfully request that you approve the variance, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thanks. Could you repeat the coverage calculations that you had of the allowable coverage and what the existing, well, I guess existing and proposed coverage?
The existing coverage is 1,805 square feet. The proposed coverage is 1,855.4 square feet, and the allowable is 2,579 square feet.
Okay.
And that it seems a little bit large, but that's because of the adjacent lots and that they're both fronting other streets.
And does the existing figures and the existing with the proposal, does that include the garage?
Yes, it does.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 62844 Fillmore Street.
Please approach the mic. You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
I'm not really familiar with how this sets up.
You just put it underneath that light and it will show up on your screen.
Yeah, it just goes face up on the overhead.
Hi, I'm Courtney Clarkson, and I own the next-door building. My building is at 2175 Green Street, and my building goes from Green all the way back to and lines up with the building on Fillmore that is under discussion. And the picture that I've shown is the lot line, or perhaps even over lot line windows on the subject property on Fillmore Street, and I have attempted to get those windows removed. It's a fire hazard to have the six windows. I have tried to talk to the owners and the architects about this. I've just done some foundation work, and I'm planning actually to, since I get virtually no light in the backyard, to take down a number of the trees that are there. So this little bit of extension will have an effect. But the whole way this has progressed has been disturbing to me. In August of 2011, I received a pre-application notice, and I couldn't go to the meeting. It was 6 o'clock in the evening, and I left not one but two messages with the owner of the property saying, I can't make it. Can you tell me what's going on? Nobody called me back. Nobody told me anything. I got another pre-application notice meeting for December 26th at 11 a.m. Now, that's illegal. It seems to me that the architects are trying, I don't know what's going on. They did reschedule the meeting, but the plans that they handed out were the parents of one of the owner who knew nothing at all about the project. The building on Fillmore is completely gutted. And the plans they handed out, these, show the existing building as it existed a year ago. Thing is completely gutted. So I really have no idea what is going on, but I am concerned about having these six windows since the building is completely gutted. And they've got windows all over, plus they're probably going to get a variance for this addition. This is something that I would like to get addressed.
Thank you. So you're located on Green Street to the east.
Yes.
A lot to the east of the subject.
It's a 1889 Victorian that sits about 40 feet back from Green Street and then has a rear yard of probably about 40 feet. Plus, it's detached on both sides. So it's.
And the windows, the property line windows in question, are on the rear building wall of the subject property?
It's the subject property on Fillmore. That's the view from, the view that's on the screen on the left is actually from an apartment. The bedrooms in the apartments. The building is empty because I've just done some foundation work.
And these windows look to be original, is that your
I don't think so, because the back part of the Fillmore Street building is an addition. The building was built, I think, around 1890 as a small farmhouse, and since it's just a box at the back third and it goes at least to the property line, I think it goes slightly on the property line from my measurements when I had my building surveyed. I didn't, at that time, 2.5 years ago, I didn't think it was an issue to.
But those windows have been in place as long as you've owned your building.
I've owned my building since 1983.
Okay.
So. Yeah, and they have been there. But I think given that the building is completely gutted.
And have you had any discussions with the project sponsor?
No, the project sponsor, who I assume is the architect, has never bothered to contact me, even though I have left messages at the only phone number that I had, which was for the owner, who seems to be in Hong Kong the whole time. And when I went to the December 26th, 11 a.m. pre-application meeting, I filled out a form saying, it would be nice to have some idea what's going on since I own the building next door and I have a few questions and few concerns. And she called me a couple of times from Hong Kong, but I have no way of calling her.
You said we have a couple of different issues here. Your concerns seem to be related to the rear windows. This is a variance for a small addition on the south side of the building. Do you have any comments or opposition to that?
Well, it just, the building is expanding, and I have issue with light anyway, and their plantings have pretty much obscured anything coming from the west.
Okay, and then the
I prefer that this be something that's decision put off for some time until the issue of the windows can be dealt with.
So the director, your public comment is over, and you answered my question. So, but I do have another question for you. When did construction on the interior start?
You know, I don't know. When I went on December 26th to the pre-application hearing, I rang the doorbell, and I could see that construction. I can see from my building the construction had been going on for several months, and the building was completely gutted by the 26th.
Do you know if it began before October of last year?
You know, I don't know. It may have.
They do have an issued permit from October of last year for interior remodeling, and you know that's a substantial work here. $350,000 is the construction cost on the permit. So they do seem to be working under a validly issued permit for the interior work. But thank you for your comments, and we'll see if there's any other public comment before going back to the project sponsor. So any other public comment on this item? Item number 6, 2844 Fillmore Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Sean Gorman, and I'm here as a member of the public. I'm a friend of the project sponsors. And this expansion is extremely modest, 50 square feet in an area that is part of the main social component within the house. And the lot coverage with this particular parcel is very unusual. This is a key lot that has very little depth. And the other lots come in from the side. The building is situated in such a way that the only area for the open space is actually on the side. Most RH2 zoning, you have lot configuration where you may have a modest setback in the front, and you've got the building, and then you've got a rear yard, and it's in the back. And with the RH2 zoning, the standard is 55%, 45% rear yard. And when you do the calculations, even with this unusual configuration, the current structure covers 52.5%. With the addition, it's up to 54. It's still below the standard threshold for RH2 lots. And the variance process seems to be tailor-made for dealing with oddball lots like this, especially key lots that have a weird building to lot configuration. Yeah, because for example, up on Potrero Hill, you have a lot of these lots, but what people have done is they've built the building all the way up to the front. So the rear yard is in the back, although it's very small. And in this case, you've got a situation where the building is off to one side, it's pushed to the back, and the main outdoor living space is off to the side, and this extension creates a logical extension of the kitchen family room area out to this outdoor living space. And so therefore, given the lot configuration, the fact that for a typical RH2, it's consistent with the below the 55% threshold, I feel it's well worthy of a variance.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Item number 6, 2844 Fillmore Street. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you.
Hi. I'd just like to say that we did hold another pre-app meeting in response to one of the speakers' comments that we had it at the wrong time. I have an affidavit actually here for Kanishka as well to reaffirm that. Regarding the windows, we are blocking five of those windows under the existing permit. The existing permits for the interior of the home. And as to the best of my knowledge, the owner has met with this neighbor on more than one occasion, from what I know. I have not gotten any calls from her. All the communication has been directly through owners, to my knowledge. And we are blocking those windows in large part because of her expressed concern previously. So I think there's just a lack of communication here.
How many windows are there in total in the rear?
Actually, the contractor is here. There's six windows, okay. And you're blocking five, right?
Yes.
Okay.
As a concession.
Okay.
It wasn't previously in the. It wasn't in the plans. As a concession for this property, we were told that we were over the property line. That was deemed false through her own.
There was a survey done that showed we are not over the property line.
Okay.
Excellent. And then five windows we're going to close up as a concession.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying those points. So with that, close the public hearing on this item. Since most of the concerns have been related to property line windows. That's really more of a matter of for the Department of Building Inspection. I don't believe that's required to remove those windows, but the project sponsor has voluntarily removed five of the six windows, and so hopefully that will address the concerns of the neighbor. But again, I didn't hear any concerns related to what is before us today, which is the rear yard variance. I think that the lot configuration, lot size, does provide a compelling argument, so I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions. And close the public hearing on that again, and we can move on to the next item. I would note item number 7 and item number 13 have already been granted on the consent calendar, so we are moving on to item number 8.
Item number 8, case number 2013.0073V, 105 Hoffman Avenue, rear yard, variance sought. You're the sponsor, sir? You have your declaration?
I do.
You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Adam Greenspan, the owner of 105 Hoffman with my wife, Akiko Ono, who's sorry she couldn't be here today. She had to be at a teacher conference. We purchased the property about a year ago, and it's shown on the screen right now. When we bought it, the disclosures stated that the foundation was faulty and needed to be rebuilt. With that statement, there was also a bid for the installation of a new foundation and a garage. So when we bought the property, we intended to do both of those things so that we could feel like it was safe and also get the benefit of a garage. What happened when we began the planning process with the planning department here, we found that the level that we would need to get the correct head height per code in the garage would make the slope of the driveway too steep related to code. And so we began to work together with our architect on ways of making it work without affecting the historical character of the building and the neighborhood, and also trying to do it in a way that wouldn't affect our neighbors very much. And so ultimately the way that can be done is why we're here today and relates to the rear yard variance that we're seeking. It is that we would raise the house 2 feet so that we can get the right head height in the garage without needing to alter the facade of the building. And so we have two items in the rear yard for which we're seeking the variance. One is that this area here is an existing addition that already enters into the rear yard setback. And so because we would be lifting that portion, 2 feet, that is in need of a variance in order to do so. The second part is that we have an existing deck that comes off what is the only floor of the house right now, and we're looking to infill underneath that deck as part of the new work we're doing so that we can connect into that space from the lower level. And so this area here is the area that we're talking about and seeking to infill. There's an existing sidewall on that deck and underneath and above that deck. So this area is dark and unused. We're adding 2 bedrooms and a family room underneath. We have 2 children and really are looking to make these what we think are modest additions so that it basically can fit our family, you know, for the rest of our time in San Francisco, we hope. I have a couple other photos that show that situation, just so that it's clear. This is looking at the area underneath, which is not really usable because it's quite dark right now, and making that interior wouldn't really change, we feel, any privacy issues or anything related to neighbors. It also wouldn't change the appearance from the back if you were in the backyard. And I think lastly, this is the last photo, which is showing the relationship of that sidewall that we have, which ends, there. Well, actually, no, the sidewall that we have ends here and goes all the way down. And so the infill would happen underneath there, which is at a basement level of the building adjacent. I think that's it.
Thank you. The photos were very helpful. So the lot is a little bit shallower than normal, too. It's about 25 by 90-foot deep lot. It's not a 100-foot deep lot. Right?
That's correct. Mark Thomas, project architect. It's a little bit shallower than standard, and as Adam mentioned, in the neighborhood, there are a number of these buildings that extend into what's now the required rear yard, but when they were built, they probably were under a different planning code. So what's really triggering this variance is the need to preserve character-defining elements of the front facade of the building. Raising the building up 2 feet will get a conforming driveway slope down to the proposed garage level. And right now, raising the building approximately 2 feet is going to get a 25% slope on the driveway, and that's about that's the maximum that DPW will let us do. When we spoke to them about getting an encroachment coming into the public walk, they were not inclined to grant that encroachment because there is no established pattern in the neighborhood for that. So,
how wide is the sidewalk, too?
The sidewalk is narrower than usual. It's about 12 feet.
And you do have a front setback of about 11 feet, a little bit more than 11 feet. And as
you
know, this is a potential historic resource, so you're observing Secretary of Interior standards. And
exactly. When we had a pre-app meeting with planning staff, it was discussed that it's a potential resource, and approaching the project this way, raising the building 2 feet to preserve the character-defining elements, is about the max that staff felt comfortable allowing us to raise the building and still meeting the Secretary of Interior standards.
And the 311 notification just expired, and there were no DRs?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 8, 105 Hoffman Avenue?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. My name is Norma Fisher, and my mother and I own the 107, 107A Hoffman Avenue. Probably my mother's 96. One of my concerns are we feel that the vertical and horizontal alterization, as well as the addition of stairs to the 105 Hoffman Avenue home, will adversely affect the original look of the neighborhood that has remained unchanged for more than 100 years. The subject property was originally built as a single-story dwelling and has remained with that character for a very long time. We are vehemently opposed to the proposed project as it will negatively change the original character of the neighborhood. The vertical extension of the home may partially obstruct the view, privacy, and lighting of a window on the second story of 107 Hoffman Avenue. We have four windows on the top floor, and I understand that there, according to Michael Smith, he said those windows are not supposed to be covered in any way with if they raise this house 2 feet, and there's supposed to be a 6 foot span between the roof and my house for air and for sunshine and everything. And then we strongly disagree with the proposed variance due to the setback requirement pursuant to the Building Code Section 134, which requires that the minimum yard depth for RH2 zone district should be equal to 45% of the total depth of the lot in which the building is situated, or an average setback of the agenda properties. This setback in the backyard provides uniformity to our neighborhood. It also allows for privacy between neighbors, provides space for light and air circulation, provides open space for landscaping. It provides distance between neighbors to mitigate noise. The current property does not meet the required setback as a deck addition and extension of the house to the yard were added since its original construction. The planning code requires that the property maintain a 33-foot, 9-inch setback. However, the property extends 10 feet into that setback. We understand the deck addition that violates the site originally was built illegally. We are completely opposed to this project that continues to violate the planning code by further building into the backyard and now creates additional habitable space in the yard. We need to understand why this variance would even be considered. Wayne Nicholson, owner of the 105 Hoffman in the 1890s, built the upper deck without a variance permit or architectural plans. The firemen at Engine 24 turned Wayne Nicholson into the city permit department. Permit was given after the fact. The vertical extension of the deck by 2 feet at 105 Hoffman Avenue, which was originally built without a permit, may invade the privacy of the 107 Hoffman property as it will potentially enable the residents to see into my property and bathroom.
Thank you.
Okay.
So a few questions. So your property is located at 107?
107, 107A. It's two flats.
So 107. So it's to the south of the...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the concerns are about the impacts on neighborhood character. So is it because of the addition of a garage?
Well, I think if they raise the property, my house is was built in 1908, and with that 89 earthquake, I may have some damage on my... I have a brick foundation, and I think raising it would... It might impact my foundation, might cause more cracks, and also the proposed vertical addition undermining our foundation will adversely affect the seismic performance of our house.
Focus on answering the question that I asked. So do you have concerns about the impacts on neighborhood character?
Well, yes, I'm concerned about raising the house deck. I mean, it's kind of far out.
If you could just focus on answering the questions that I'm asking. So the addition of the garage is something that you're opposed to because how that impacts the character of the neighborhood?
No, I don't. I mean, if they could figure out another way to do it without lifting the house, I'm not opposed to them building a garage and building their bedrooms and all that. It's just raising the house and that I think the deck is. I don't know if you can see it in here. Well, it doesn't show. See how this part's. This part sticks out. That's on their side. And this is all my windows. I have 28 panel windows, and behind there is my bathroom and a small porch.
Okay. You said you had concerns about side property line windows. You said you had four property line windows?
Yes, on the south side on the top floor. And that's my mother's bathroom windows and kitchen windows. And she has, I don't know what you call those, iron protection things, because she was afraid somebody could break in her house because of this. She was 96 years old,
Okay. Have you discussed this with the project sponsor about the impacts on the windows that you have?
And I'm concerned about them raising the house also,
But have you had a discussion with the project sponsor about the windows? And what was the result of that discussion?
No, I haven't spoken to anyone yet. I wanted to come to the public hearing.
Okay. And did you receive the Section 311 notification with the plans for the project?
Yes, they sent me the set of the plans of what they wanted to do.
Okay.
And then I got this also from you, too.
Right.
Public hearing.
Okay. Thank you for those comments. I would encourage you to meet after the hearing with the project sponsor and maybe discuss your concerns and see if there's anything that they can do to address that. At this point, the matter that is before us is simply the variance, which is for not lifting the entire building. That doesn't require the variance. It's really only the portion at the rear. So it's not the portion that is going to be impacting your windows. It's actually just the portion at the rear, so I wanted to clarify that. But we'll go on and see if there's any other public comment on this item. And, again, I think you should have a conversation with the project sponsor. But they'll have time for rebuttal as well. So is there any other item, public comment on this item, item number 8, 105 Hoffman Avenue? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal. Thank you.
Hi, the 3 minutes start, sir.
Okay. Just so we're all clear, this is the image of 107 and 107A adjacent to our house over here. And we have met a number of times, and we're eager to keep meeting so that we can work things out if we're allowed to move forward with the construction. There are lot line windows that we were aware of. I know of two. And what we have tried to do in developing the plan was not only set the lifting level at 2 feet, because that would be the minimum we would need. I mean, we would hope for a driveway that would be less than 25% if we could manage it. But, you know, we understood that she's lived with these windows for the full time that she's been in the house and didn't want to infringe on those. And so the shingles are about 11 inches in their height. They're 2 plus a half about over the house. So I think that would be... What is that? 22 plus 6? 28 inches. So I think that we're below those windows, and we will work with our construction team to mitigate, you know, any water that comes that way or anything else that would relate to it. We're also open to adjusting that 2 foot level down if when construction and surveying actually gets underway, we find we can hit the 25% without lifting it a full 24 inches, maybe 22 or something like that, if that's possible. So I guess I just wanted to say that we feel that we've tried and had an open house, which Norma did come to at our house to go over the plans that we have. And we, you know, hope to receive the variance, be able to move forward, and would definitely expect to continue our conversations and work any construction planning out together with the owners over there so that it can work.
Thank you. So as I understand it, there are 4 property line windows, and is that the correct number?
We think there are 2.
Okay, so we haven't been on the roof. We only see from the 2 sides.
Okay.
So 2 is all that I've seen, but I, you know, assume if there's 4, we would be respecting
and
all of those.
For the 2 that you're aware of, there's at least 28 inches on both of those, and you don't anticipate any problems during the construction process of, you know, having to add a cricket or something like that is going to partially obscure the window. I mean, you're pretty confident in your construction. So I think at this point you have the site plan submitted, so you're well into the design process.
Right. We are, and it's our intention to work with the builder to provide a Dutch gutter there so that we can avoid covering the windows. But Mr. Sanchez, I'd like to state for the record that those property line windows are not protected.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do everything we can to keep the status quo and allow the property line windows to remain as they are, and we'll work with the owner to make sure that that happens. But we, once we get into the process, if there's a change, we'll let the owners know that those unprotected windows may need to be altered. At this point, knowing what we know, we don't think so. We think we're good.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
So that wraps up public testimony on item number 8, 105 Hoffman Avenue. With that, I close the public hearing on the item. Given the testimony and the arguments that have been made, I think that a variance is justified. It's the only way of really feasibly achieving the goal of adding the garage, and would be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions. And again, public hearing is closed. We can move on to item number 9.
Item number 9, case number 2012.1393V, 1015 Pierce Street. Street frontage variance sought. Sponsor of this project, please. Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Okay, this is, it's all about just expanding two existing garage doors that are on this little alley here on Elm Street. One's 8 feet and one's 12 feet, and we want to make them both 12 feet. That's really all there is to it.
And this building was damaged.
This was damaged by fire, right? And we wanted this as part of the reconstruction so that we could squeeze one more car into the garage. I just want to note that there's no sidewalk on Elm Street. It only goes a little bit farther. I have a couple photographs. This is looking down Elm Street. As you see, it's narrow. There's no sidewalk. And it's just the expansion of the door. It's a dead end after one more house. This is what we want to do. Okay. Any questions?
No, thank you. That's very straightforward.
I mean, I'd be happy to talk more, but I don't think it
needs to be straightforward. Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 9, 1015 Pierce Street. Seeing none, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that there be no adverse impact on Elm Street as there's no sidewalk and no on-street parking. Thank you. And we can move on to the next item, item number 10.
Item number 10, case number 2012.1344V, 2038 Balboa Street, rear yard, open space, and non-complying structure variance system. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Augustine Foley, agent for the owner. They were going to be here this morning with the architect, but they ran into some problems. So they have all the drawings, but I'm sure we provided detailed drawings and photographs to the staff and to the department in general. The variance we have, and we have it because the building itself is non-compliant. It was built in 1918, long way before the current codes came into effect. And so anything done in this building would necessarily, any changes done in this building would necessarily require a variance. What we are doing is converting a portion of the ground floor to an office use. This particular area has been laid waste for the last few years and was becoming an eyesore.
But sorry to interrupt. So you said you were converting it to an office use?
No, the area was previously used as an office. We are converting it into a single family dwelling, and it is less than 1,000 square feet, approximately 900 and from what I have here is 938 square feet. We have done some adjustments in terms of exposure and entrance, as recommended by the staff in the planning department. We have also canvassed the neighborhood to let the neighbors that might be directly affected by this particular project to know about it. And so far, we have had no complaints or no opposition to it. So we are proposing and hoping that the department would look kindly on it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item on 2038 Balboa Street? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item. I believe the project sponsor has revised the plans. There was one change need to be made in order to provide direct access from the street to the proposed studio unit, which is in the ground floor. I think it's a fairly compact unit. I think it's actually a couple hundred square feet, only 100 or so square feet. But so with that, close public hearing on the item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item number 11.
Thank you.
Item number 11, case number 2013.0104V, 2655 Broadway, side yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Glenda Fleim, and I'm here with Butler Armstrong Architect. We are asking a variance for a small addition into the side rear yard. There are actually three locations, and they total to 71 square feet. We believe is more than an addition. It's really regularizing the existing building, and we believe that is not effectively is not affecting the neighbors. So I would be happy to answer any question that you might have.
Thank you. No, I think there was some additional information that was provided through photos of the adjacent building, so that was helpful to see that you're, as you said, I think very well regularizing the building. I believe the Section 311 neighborhood notification is currently out to notice, and that expires on April 6th. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you. And the lot dimensions are 50 feet by 90 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So let's see if there's any public comment on this item, on item number 11, 2655 Broadway. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item. Given the, I think that the quite modest changes that have been done to the project and the lot configuration and the existing configuration of the building and the lot, that it does justify the variance, so inclined to grant it, but would hold the decision letter until the end of the Section 311 notification on April 6th. And again, public hearing is closed. We can move on to the next item, which is going to be the final item, because item number 13 has already been acted on consent. So item number 12.
Item number 12, case number 2013.0057V, 1599 Schrader Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor of the project, please. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Alice Barkley, attorney for the variance applicant. My understanding is that the opposition to this variance by the neighbor is based on their interpretation of an easement, and also the fact that they believe that there is some violation on the building planning code in terms of the required side yard, but that is not the subject matter before this forum. Any dispute that have to do with the easement, the proper forum is before the court, and it's not before the zoning administrator or the planning commission or the planning department. Let me just say that this particular... This site is extremely steep. This is the site, and the white area showing is where the proposed deck is. The neighbor's house, who the objecting neighbor, the home is back here. This is the site plan. As you can see, the neighbor who's objecting sits back here, and this is the proposed deck that require a rear yard variance. The extraordinary circumstance for this application is the fact that the site is extremely steep. There's no possibility of adding to it to the front of the building and can only do it in that small area to the side. It is a lawful non-compliant structure with almost half of the building sitting in the required rear yard, and that happens to be the one location, as you can see on the site plan, that where the new deck and small addition can be placed. The hardship caused by the steep site and the lawful non-compliant structure located in the rear yard is not caused by the applicant, and so the hardship is not self-imposed. As far as the other criteria is concerned, the neighbors have not stated why this particular variance that is sought will impact any of the planning, the general plan policy, planning code, the intent of the planning code, or how it will harm or injure his property or other neighbors. If any complaint about privacy or whatnot, that is really a subject matter for the 311 notification and eventually some kind of hearing on a discretionary before the Planning Commission. Since there has been no basis for the objection under the criteria for granting the variance, I submit that the variance should be granted. And if you have any question, I'd be glad to answer.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment first. So any public comment on item number 12, 1599 Schrader Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. Can I set my stuff down and
sure.
then start my
Sure, I'll give you enough time.
Can I have my assistant help hold this up,
sure.
please?
Sure.
I made it too big for the overhead thing. Thank you very much. Good morning. My name is Bob Neiman. I'm an attorney here in San Francisco, and I represent.
Sorry, but sold the time.
You could flip the.
Oh.
Oh
yeah. That's probably not very efficient. So what does that look like? Great. Good morning. My name is Bob Neiman. I'm an attorney here, and I represent the Cohens who live at 1591 Schrader. They are the neighbors to the north. And this case goes back to 1936 when the Commoner family wanted to have an easement across the Gotch and the Champion property and the Montedon property. And Mrs. Commoner, who's now in her 80s or 90s, was a young girl, and so they granted an easement to walk across the property.
So if you get in the microphone a little more.
Oh, sorry, yes. The 10 feet of the Gotch property, 10 feet of the Champion property, which is now the Wiley property, and the 10 feet of the Montedon property, which is now the Cohen property. So this is oriented to the south. Mm-hmm. South is up. So in 1998, Patricia Montedon, negotiates a different easement because this one was just for ingress and egress. She negotiates with the four people again, or the three other parties, to have an easement that would be exclusive for her to have this property as her own and an exclusive use, and the only use that would remain with Champion and Gotch would be that they could ask to have their trees trimmed on this side of the easement. So Montedon went ahead and put fencing all the way around the entire easement, made improvements, put in fountains and cascading waterfalls and things of that nature. And that was in 1998. And the commoner still had the right to go across the property, but they had to give 24 hours notice. And my clients have lived there since 2000, and there's never been a request. So really the easement is for sole and exclusive use by the Montedons. And this was recorded in quitclaim deeds. Champion quitclaimed and Gotch quitclaimed these lower 10 feet to Montedon. And, of course, covenants run with the land. So these were recorded properly here in San Francisco as easements. So we submitted a couple of letters to you, and I've got some photos also.
that I'll give to you that show the inside of the easement. The fence that was put up by Montadon is a fence across the easement and all the way down to the end of the Gotch property.
How tall is that fence?
This fence in the front is a wrought iron fence, and it's in photo number... That's number three, I believe.
Is the fence taller than 6 feet? Sorry to interrupt. We'll get more time.
Yeah, this is the fence in the front. It's a wrought iron fence. It's probably about 8 feet tall.
Did they obtain a building permit to install the fence?
I don't know. That was done by Montadon back in 1998.
Okay.
I don't know. And the other fence that runs along this border, which is the south side, is, I'm going to guess, about 3 or 4 feet tall. It's wood.
Okay.
So our position is that the amount of property that was transferred to the easement and the quitclaim deeds amounts to a boundary line, because now all of that property is contained on the Montadon-Cohen side of the property, which Montadons and Cohens have improved substantially, and therefore the setback for this proposed addition shouldn't be on the boundary line of the easement. It should be set back from there.
So can you maybe with your finger run around the property line, the assessor's property line for
yes.
the subject property?
Yes, the original property line is here.
And that's still the current property line, correct?
It's the current property line for okay. fee simple, but the granting of the easements recorded as quitclaim deeds, giving this property to Montadon solely and exclusively for her use.
The planning code is setbacks are based upon property lines, not upon easements, as the Project Sponsors Council noted correctly, easements are a matter that is more for the civil court. So
right.
I think that you have a disagreement with how the setbacks should be calculated, but in terms of the planning code, it is correctly calculated. And are they encroaching into the easement in any way with the proposal?
The easement would be right up to the boundary line of the easement, which we maintain is the property line now.
Well, it's the easement, but are they encroaching over the and onto the easement of your client with the proposal?
No, it would be up to okay. the edge of the boundary line. We also object, of course, that this would, and this was mentioned previously by a counsel, we do object that this would interfere with privacy and light. The property already stares down at my client's property, and you can see that in various photos, the middle group of photos, such as... You can see that it looms over my client's house, and the proposal is to add on to this section by filling it out.
Is it possible to zoom in, or I guess I have it here, because it's really hard to see with all those trees. But, okay.
Yeah, the proposal would have the property come out even further, 10 feet further, so they'd be truly just standing over my client's property, staring down at them.
Okay.
So we do object to that.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item, on item number 12, 1599 Schrader Street?
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Michael Cohen. I'm one of the owners of 1591 Schrader Street. And my wife, Lynn, and I are fully supportive of development in the neighborhood. We think it's important for enhancing the aesthetics of it as well as property values. You know, at the same time, for all the work that's been done in the neighborhood, the vast majority of the work has all been built within the existing footprints of the homes, and there's a number of irregular lots that exist there. And when we did our construction, despite having a very small lot, we complied with the same. You know, as I've explained to Mr. Wiley, his architect and his contractor by phone, in person, and in writing, my reasons for objecting their proposed plans for expanding the footprint of 1599 Schrader. You know, we look for almost 2 years to find our dream home to raise our family in 2000. You know, our house was commonly referred to as the Enchanted Cottage in books, magazines, and 1591 Schrader Street, our home, is unique in so many ways. It's a fully detached house situated in the middle of a green belt. You know, because of this special easement granted to that property by the three adjacent neighbors, Terrace Gardens, cascading waterfalls, ponds, landscaping lighting, irrigation systems, and elaborate wrought iron fences have been constructed on easement, and we have more development planned within that area. Our house with the surrounding gardens, the fenced-in area, and the setbacks from neighbors creates a riposte from city life, the chaos that we all live in. In fact, in order to continue to enjoy our home, to preserve the value of our property, we even purchased the home to the north several years ago and put restrictive covenants in to prevent oversized building of that property. Those neighbors are going to start work in a matter of months. Despite staying in a greenbelt, the only area we have for our children to play is the small front yard facing the street, sandwiched between 1599 Schrader Street to the south and our neighbor to the north. You know, the proposed expansion of 1599 would adversely impact us in several ways. First, the expansion would create an even more imposing structure with direct lines of sight into our front yards. For us, it would feel more like we are animals on display in the zoo versus a family getting to enjoy the tranquility of our yard. Imagine how that would be for you. Second, the expansion will move their home much closer to the southeast side of ours, where there's already limited space. The result is that their home will become more prominent and imposing structure we see from our house versus the gardens and trees. Lastly, as I've shared with Mr. Wiley and his team, the noise that emanates from the property is routine and invasive. On many days, we're forced to close our doors and windows in an attempt to restore the quietness that was once the valued hallmark of our home versus having a warm breeze blow through our home or listening to the songs of birds or the sounds made by our waterfalls. Building their home closer to our property will only magnify this unwanted intrusion. In summary, allowing the expansion of 1599 Schrader closer to our home would be invasive to our privacy, detract from our enjoyment of our property, and erode the unique qualities and features of our property that make our home so special and a valuable asset.
Thank you. How long have you owned the property for?
Since 2000.
Since 2000. So did you do work in 2003, an addition, an infill addition?
Yeah, there was no addition. We built within the existing footprint.
So there was a variance granted in 2003 for the subject property to infill an existing single-family dwelling that was located in the entire rear yard. So you did receive a variance for that in 2003. And then prior to your ownership, there's also three more variances, one from 1998, which enclosed a deck, one from 1994, which legalized, looks like an awning at the side of the building that was built without benefit of permit, also one from 91. For enclosing a solarium in the rear yard, because your building is located entirely within the required rear yard, not
correct.
Similar from the subject property here, which is seeking a variance.
Well, the variance we sought, what we did is we enclosed a glass atrium within the existing footprint.
But I thought you said in your public testimony that all the work that you did was code compliant, but you did receive.
No, I said it was within the existing footprint of the home. So we did not go out the existing footprint. There was a two-story glass atrium that was enclosed.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Thanks.
Any other public comment on this item? And again, this is the last item on the calendar, item number 12. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
I just want to clarify that the grant deed showed the property line at this location, which is what it is. The so-called quick claim deed that is referred to by opposing counsel does not exist. What he's referring to is language for use of that easement area by Mr. Cohen, which we do not dispute that he had the ability to use that, but that does not mean by any means a transfer of ownership of that 10-foot strip of land. And as far as the noise, this is the first time that Mr. William heard about this, and he will, of course, go back and talk to his son who's living there right now. This expansion is requested because Mr. Willie currently lives in Oregon, and he planned on moving down and to live with his two sons.
Thank you. So I don't have any concerns with the easement issue. I think that it's been stated already that's a separate issue that's for the courts to deal with. However, the configuration of the unit,
have
three different living levels, three living rooms, and they're not, there's no internal connection. Okay. So can you speak to that?
Yes. I think it is a poor choice to call something a living room when it was actually a bedroom for one of the son. And then in the middle level, which is the one that's going to be expanded, that's the area that Mr. Willie secretly planned on living there. When you're living with two adult sons, privacy is important, and we most certainly do not have any problem of doing a notice of special restriction on the record stating clearly that this is a single-family home and is not to be rented as separate units.
So the idea behind the functionality here is to have One kitchen
on the top floor where the family will get together.
But that the other levels will be simply bedrooms for, have levels for the sons?
One of the bedroom down below is for the son at the lowest level. The middle level with the deck is for Mr. Willie, and then upstairs is for the other son and the girlfriend.
Okay, so they get the best.
Well, also, that's the kitchen. I think they're hoping the woman will do the cooking.
So no comment on that, but thank you. So the public hearing is closed on this item. I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think it's been explained quite satisfactorily about my concern, which was about how the floors would function. So with that, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance. This was the last item, so we would move on to general public comment. If there's anyone here who has general public comment on any item that was not on the calendar, and seeing none, this hearing is closed. We will re-adjourn on April 24th. Thank you.